Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I sit down with a couple of UK pastors, Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham. We're talking about gifting in the main section today, how we can discern and use our gifts in the church. Graham will give us a roundup on anger, which was the topic on Sunday morning at Christchurch. And in the news section, we reflect on the COVID situation in India. So enjoy the episode, and I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Graham Nichols.
And I am Mark Bentham.
And this is Josh Bannister speaking, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're having a chat about gifts and calling and how we can be useful in the church, but also want to sort of open that up to calling outside of the church as well. But before that, we're going to have a Sunday roundup. We didn't have one last week because we had a bit of a review, but let's play the jingle and then Graham's going to take us through Sunday at Christchurch, which was about anger.
Sunday roundup show, did the sermon pass real slow? Did you plant some seed to grow? It's roundup time, what do you know?
Yeah, Sunday morning we looked at a bit more of the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. And in particular, we looked at the anger and how Jesus goes much deeper than just murder itself, but talks about anger, talks about insults, and obviously specifically wants us to think about those things, but also as a more general thought, which will run right through, particularly this chapter in Matthew, looking at the heart of the law rather than the actual ticking the box to say, oh, I didn't actually break a commandment. But actually getting right underneath it to the law of love. And so when we think about murder, we could say, well, I haven't murdered anyone. But Jesus goes deeper and says, well, what about anger? What about insult? What about demeaning somebody? What about undervaluing people? So it's really challenging. And really constantly through the Sermon on the Mount, we've got to encourage ourselves to repent and to change, but also encourage ourselves that Jesus fulfills the law. So not become discouraged and desperate. So that'll be the balance we're trying to navigate all the way through, really.
Time for news now. Give us your views. News.
Big in the news at the moment is the way that the COVID pandemic is affecting India. It's, I suppose, becoming apparent that things are quite desperate in India, and it's certainly very sad to see some of the reports coming out and the pictures and the images and stuff. It's awful, really. Thoughts on the virus and how it's affecting India, and potentially what kind of ways in which the Western countries or countries that are further along, I suppose, in the vaccination journey can be helping those countries? What are some of the things that are being suggested and your thoughts on those things?
Yeah, I think at a simple human compassion level, you've got to have compassion for a situation where people are dying sometimes for lack of oxygen, sometimes just they're dying, not just, but because of the virus, and in a way there's no treatment that would help them. But I think some people are dying for lack of treatment, lack of oxygen or lack of medical care. And just death is horrible, isn't it, for people to experience. I think it's complicated to do with India because it's such a massive population.
Yeah, it's in the billions, is it not?
Yeah, it's 1.6 billion, I think. It's 20 or 22 times bigger than us in population. So although the numbers are big, you know, the population is big as well. So the rate, I think, of death hasn't reached the kind of levels that we were at or the states were at. You know, why do you do it? How do you do it? Where are the principles of love? What gospel images are you creating or not creating? What role model? You know, all that kind of thing. So it's where you apply the word to that and the gospel to that.
Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense. And I suppose part of that idea then of a pastor equipping and those ideas that Mark brought out is that it presupposes the idea that it's not always obvious to people what their gift is or in what ways they are to serve the church, right? So might it be helpful to talk about some of the gifts that you do see in church and then talk about how somebody might discern what their gift is? Because you mentioned earlier that everybody has a gift. You used that phrase, Mark. I would guess that some people would feel like they don't. Do you know what I mean? Or they don't know what it is.
Sure. And I'm using it because that's what Paul says in verse 7, that, that Christ has given grace to each. And of course, there is a wide range of gifts in the life of the church. And I think it's, you know, the fact that Paul says it is of grace keeps us from kind of being jealous as well, because I can look at someone and think, hey, they seem more gifted than me. And the truth is we all have a part to play. We all have a gift to bring to the life of the church. So it's not because they're any better or worse. It's just the way the Lord has apportioned it. So it kind of rules those kind of things out,
yeah,
in terms of jealousy, in the sense of kind of thinking less of oneself. It's recognizing that actually it's just as Christ has apportioned it, who knows me best and for his glory. And I think the range of gifts kind of range from the obvious, like preaching, teaching, to children's ministry, music ministry. But then there is administration, stewardship, the gift of encouragement, the gift of just drawing alongside another. The one who has a heart for prayer, the person who, you know, leadership would be another one. So they're the kind of probably the standard ones that that we see. We can get into the more kind of controversial ones.
Yeah. I think that administration word is interesting, though, because I think as we learned a little bit earlier in Ephesians, that administration word can be used for all kinds of managerial, organisational skills. So although it sounds a bit dull, like you're kind of, you know, a secretary with a keyboard, you know, and stuff and screen to look at. Administration is a big word. And you think across the church, you need all kinds of administration skills. People who are highly organized, details based, people who are good at seeing the big picture, people who can just, you know, turn up and do because they're managing themselves pretty well and they're just organized,
yeah,
you know, to keep a program and to do something on time. I think it's probably worth saying that, you know, although it is worth talking about, you know, discerning our gifts and all those topics, I think the purpose of all those places where it appears, Corinthians 1 you quoted, is to make the point they all come from God, and to make the point that there'll be differences, kind of get over it. You're all still part of the one body. Just because you've got different gifts, don't get all kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah, we, I mean, like the whole of that next section, 12 to 27, is focused on exactly that, isn't it, in the Corinthians 1?
Yeah, yeah. And I think we tend to get obsessed with the, oh, okay, so I must have a gift and what is it and so forth. And we kind of individualize it rather than, I don't think Paul's trying to say, you know, get obsessed about what your gifts are. He's making a much bigger point about, you know, here's God. He gives loads of gifts out. You know, don't worry that they're different. They're supposed to be different. You're not supposed to be all the same.
Mm.
And he doesn't really get into the, you know, so you must become obsessed. There'll always be a combination of opportunity and ability that coincide in order that you can serve in some way, and some of you will be better in some areas than others, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, that as much as that is true, Paul throws that spanner in, like, or potential spanner, right at the end of verse 30, where he says, verse 31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Yeah.
So what's Paul mean there when he says that phrase?
Well, you want to go down the controversial route, so.
I'd love to.
I think in context, that there's a, obviously some talk about it in terms of the tongues and prophecy, apostles teaching. Mm-hmm. I think there is probably the sense of word-based ministry in that sense that bring the encouragement. I don't think it's creating a sense of distinction, and I think in the sense of the life of the church. But he then does go on and talk about love, which is kind of the great thing, of how we love one another being the better marker, the key marker. You can have all the giftedness you like, but unless you're loving people, it matters not what. And I think probably in the context of Corinth at the time, there were those who were kind of wanting the gifts that kind of showed people up and showed them off and kind of was about them. And therefore, Paul's encouraging those kind of gifts that build others up. That seems to be where he goes in 1 Corinthians 14 about building others up, loving others.
Yeah.
And it's those gifts that build others up that seem to be the gifts that are to be eagerly desired, because actually they're focused on others. They're focused on building the life of the church up, the wealth, of the health of the church, the spiritual well-being of the church.
Mm-hmm. Helpful.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about then, get a little bit more practical with it, I suppose. And then, Mark, maybe you help us understand a little bit about discerning what your gift might be. So we did speak about we mentioned the idea that people might not know how to serve or what they're good at. They might feel like they're not good at anything, or they're not particularly skilled in any area that the church tends to highlight as a, you know, a need or something. How do you as pastors sort of help with that, or what's that process look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the first thing is although you're absolutely hearing what Graham said earlier about, you know, it's not about individualistic, that it is seeing that we all have a part to play.
Yeah.
So it is helping people to think through how can they serve in the life of the church. And I think often, I think part of the problem is that we all want the gifts that seem to look like, you know, I don't know, the ones that kind of are more obvious.
More public.
And often actually the more public, yeah, that would be the word, more public, more obvious, and just sometimes more glamorous. And actually often, always actually, what giftedness is kind of goes along the line of who I am and personality, things that I connect with, enjoy, rather than suddenly it kind of goes against the very way in which the Lord Jesus has wired me up and made me. Mm-hmm. And there are some things about my character that are just hardwired. There is a sense of this is the defaults, these are the ways that I'm getting, these are where the struggles will always be, this is, you know, and giftedness kind of works in a similar way, that they tram down the lines of who we are. They're not suddenly so different, you know, in that way. So I think trying to make ourselves something that actually we're just not. You know, if you're absolutely petrified about public speaking, you know, probably 9 times out of 10 you're not going to be a preacher. Now, that's not to say that the Lord doesn't, you know, there are those who urge of it, they hate it, but kind of worked it through and get it. That happens, but generally that's how it kind of rolls, I think.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the idea that should your area of service be something that you necessarily enjoy? Because I've always thought that if there is a slight tension between your service and your sort of level of enjoyment of that particular area or field or whatever, then that can be a good thing, because you're essentially saying, I don't love doing this thing, but I recognise that I can do it and I can do it well, and I'm going to do it because that serves the church. So what I'm saying is there a barrier there that sometimes says, well, I don't really like doing, let's choose something, I don't like doing kids' work, so I'm not going to do it, versus actually you are good at doing it, you can do it, and therefore that service is appropriate. Does that make sense? Like, are we wrong to sometimes just look at service and be like, what would I like to do?
I think we are wrong in that sense. And I agree that there are different gifts, so we're not all gifted at the same things. And we don't have to do things that we're really not gifted for.
Mm.
Sometimes there might be a need that we just have to do it because we've got to stand in the gap. You know, there's a crisis, we have to just do it. But generally speaking, I think that's not a calling on us.
Right.
That's different to saying we often have to make sacrifices. Yeah. Gifts are distributed across the church, so there'll be different people gifted in different things. But Paul doesn't say you're only absolutely got one gift.
Mm.
And, you know, he doesn't say that there's you only serve where your gift is clearly identified and you clearly enjoy it.
Mm.
You know, there's just loads of gifts and there's loads of things to do.
Mm.
And hopefully you kind of align some of your gifts with the things to do, but then there'll be a load of things to do that anyone can do that you do as well.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I carry a box into church. I'm not particularly gifted at carrying boxes, but they need carrying in. Yeah. So there may be reasons I shouldn't be carrying a box, but so there is a whole load of stuff that kind of anybody could do.
And I think,
yes,
this is really helpful because I think he's unpicking kind of the kind of the wrong thinking that sometimes goes with it. Yeah. So when you're kind of holding up, everyone has a role to play.
Yeah.
There are gifts.
Yeah.
You can go to the other end and say, well, therefore I'll only serve in areas where I am gifted and I won't do anything else.
Yeah.
Whereas that goes against kind of other teaching of the Bible, which is sort of laying down your life, sacrifice, cost. And often, actually, in the Lord's grace and mercy, we know people who would, you know, don't want to do anything to do, let's take children's work. Mm. And yet they see there's a need, they see that actually they can fill it, that, you know, but they kind of, the thought of it is just, oh, I just couldn't do it. But they do it, and actually what they discover is they love it. because I think there's a grace in God's mercy, and actually we discover things in that way as well. So and some people don't, but they just carry persevere because they want to love Jesus and they want to love people.
Mm.
And so it's not their favorite thing. It's not the thing that energizes them every, but they can just see there's a need. And because of their love for Christ and love for people, they just keep on doing it.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to balance all these things up. The important thing is that we've all got a part to play. We can't just be turning up to church and saying, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be a consumer. We've all got to invest in.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I also think, which I think you kind of said as well, that there may be some times where you're doing a particular area of service that is not really right for you. And it is all right, you know, to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, there are things where you're saying, look, I'm really not, you know, comfortable doing this, you know, and I've given it a good try, and it's just not an area that, you know, every week I try and do it better, but I just can't work, you know, in this area.
Mm.
And that's okay. You know, people don't have to sort of have a job for life just because they volunteered to do something.
Yeah.
I think more positively, we want to encourage people by testing them and then trying to give feedback and you know, helping them to get better at the thing. So you may have a basic aptitude that you can speak well to children, or that you have some technical skills and stuff. It's not just that they're static.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, you can do that and that's it. We're hoping to grow people so they become, you know, better at writing or better at speaking or better at singing or better at some technical aspect or better at preaching and better at leading meetings, you know, spiritually. And so you keep bringing the gospel and gospel principles to bear and trying to help people get better. And I think sometimes in church life, and we get quite lazy about it, that we just kind of think, well, we've arrived.
Yeah.
Not that we're perfect, but we are where we are.
Yeah. And actually, it's just pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah, and it's just about the grunt work of just serving. You just keep doing it, just keep doing it. Rather than thinking, you know, under God, we could actually get better at this. You know, the church is a family where we can help each other improve in our works of service.
Yeah.
And some of those are kind of obvious about, you know, being faithful to a Bible text, say, in preaching. But some of them are just skills to do with, you know, how you present something.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much whether you're theologically faithful, but the kind of process of preparing a message or preaching a message or speaking a kid's talk or whatever. And we want to grow in that and develop gifts.
Yeah. Do you think that any of this conversation so far is applicable to outside of church? I just want to briefly spend a couple of minutes on that. Having, you know, knowing people myself who are potentially struggling with the idea of calling, what should I be doing with my life? What should I focus on? Do you think that this idea of gifting also applies outside of the church? Or do you think that, you know, obviously there's a great deal of freedom involved in what we are able to do or choose to do? Go on.
Yeah, I think they're two slightly separate things when you talk about calling and gifts. Mm-hmm. So I think gifts kind of can shape the calling, as it were. So for example, part of discerning calling, and a guy called David Paterson has written a helpful kind of article on this in the sense of five kind of questions. But one of them is, what are your gifts and talents? You know, what do you enjoy in that sense? What have you observed that you've got? What's been your life experience and learning and background before then? You know, so if you're kind of growing up, you know, I can play the instruments, multiple instruments, well. I've grown up learning music, that's my background. Do you know what I mean? And then you go, well, what are the opportunities and responsibilities and challenges that seem to be before me now? Now, you could do this as a Christian, non-Christian. Mm-hmm. For the Christian, you know, where have you grown wiser? You know, where's the Lord been teaching you, giving you light, help, understanding? And then what do you thrive? What do you do? Now, that would help me work out my calling, which may be true, you know, non-Christian, Christian in some of those areas. For the Christian, I think, in the life of the church, you might be going, okay, what is it the Lord's gifted me in? Those kind of five questions would help maybe say, actually, maybe the Lord is calling me just to be in this area. Mm-hmm. Or maybe actually he's calling me to start a new particular ministry. Or maybe he's calling me to, you know, go and serve the church in India. But I think that the calling gifts are slightly, the calling is the wider, the gifts will help fulfill that.
I think for a Christian in outside of the church, though, there's a continuum. So it's not like you have your service in church and then you behave as a different person entirely in the workplace. Mm-hmm. All those same values that should characterize your church serving, you know, being sacrificial, seeking to use your gifts for the glory of God, all of those should be happening in your workplace as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like in you know, Paul says, you know, do it all for the glory of God. We work for the glory of God. We think about his eye being on us all the time. And so those same principles apply, and they should make you not necessarily the most gifted worker, but you should be a worker that people want to work with because you work hard and with integrity. And then similarly, which is an interesting bounce back, you need to bring good work values back into the church. So you think, if I was doing this as a job, you know, with a boss who was holding me accountable, I'd make sure I turned up on time for this. I'd make sure I did a reasonable job. Sometimes people come in the church and they have a reverse thing, which is they think, well, I've got these talents, but actually I'm quite a busy guy and I'll turn up late and I'll, you know, just I'll just wing it. And you think, oh, you'd never do that in a workplace because there's too much at stake. You know, it's your career at stake. So, yeah, I'm not trying to turn this into a negative all of a sudden. But I think they work both ways. You take Christian values and apply them in the workplace. But actually, you think in the church, I want to take everything good about working in general and bring that to the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Okay.
Spit it out, Rush. Come on.
Oh, I was just so emotional about that.
Josh coughs.
For those of you who
it's
are
dust in the air.
For those of you who is actually everybody who can't see us, it's only us that can see us. Josh is in a brand new studio. It's been redecorated. It's got false plant pots behind him, which are probably raining down chemicals on him right now.
Well, we've been drilling in here, and so it's probably just the dust in the air. But I was also just choked up because that was just beautiful sentiment what I was hearing from you right there.
Yeah, but you're getting choked up even more.
Yeah. thanks for filling that time, though. I appreciate that. As if we were live and we can't cut it out.
Yeah, but it's fun to add these kind of ambulance.
Hey, it's great.
People
are going to love to hear me coughing deep into their brains. All right, I was going to say, we're at like 32 minutes. So, Mark or Graham, do you have any sort of final thoughts or things that you wanted to add before I close this thing down?
I did.
Go for it.
Graham might as well.
Graham will say but then he will. So let's just prep ourselves.
Well, I think it's true. We do it all the way. I think just in the sense of area of gifting, I think is recognising that actually the Lord has, we've all got a part to play. I think you're trying to discern it sometimes is just talking to others, talking to your church leaders, talking to if you're married, your spouse, talking to friends. You know, what do you see that I do? Because sometimes we don't even recognise it. Boy, you're a real encourager. I notice you encourage people all the time. Oh, I hadn't quite realised it. You know what I mean? Like, we're not realising actually the part we're actually playing and getting on with. And I think, so talk about, and my final thing, I think the greatest gift that church leaders is people who are just willing to, it's having that mind of Christ that says, for the sake of Christ and for his people, I'll do anything, however I can, you know, with my time, with my money, and just not for the church leader per se, although that makes our life a lot easier, but ultimately for Christ. Just having that attitude of humility that says, I'll do whatever it needs doing in the life of the church to serve the church for the glory of the church, and I'll trust Christ to lead me in that. I think that is if folks were doing that, our churches would be growing in health and strength and maturity and unity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ordinary. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is ordinary@cchh.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. Remember to share the podcast if you haven't and to give it a rating and review. That would really help us out. And come back next week for another brand new episode of Ordinary.